Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 through 17. This is God's word. The record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Aminadab, Aminadab the father of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David, the king. David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asa. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham, Jotham was father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amon, and Amon the father of Josiah. Josiah became the father of Zechariah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. After the deportation to Babylon, Zechariah became the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Abihud, Abihud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor. Azor was the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Akim, and Akim the father of Eliad. Eliad was the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who was called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. We ask that your Spirit will work among us, in us, that we may be able to understand and believe your word. And by hearing of your word, let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that your word will be preached correctly. Bless us, and we give you all the glory at this time. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 1, the record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The book of Matthew begins with the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew, the author, is very clear from the beginning what he is writing about. Jesus Christ. And what Jesus has done and accomplished. New Exodus. the exodus from sin and this world, eternal salvation, heaven for his people. We will see all of these things as we look at the rest of this book. The genealogy of Jesus Christ. It says Jesus the Messiah. See, when we say Jesus Christ, remember that Christ is not his last name. It is his title. In Hebrew, Christ is Messiah, meaning the anointed one. Like when we say President Bush, the word president is not his name. It's not part of his name. It is his title. Same here, Jesus Christ. It means Jesus is the Christ. It means Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the anointed one. He is the Messiah who was promised by God in the Old Testament. He is the Messiah who will accomplish the perfect and eternal salvation for the people of God. He is the Messiah who will take away all of his people's sins completely and perfectly. Jesus is that Messiah. He is the one. When Jesus Christ came to this world as a man, the Messiah came. The Jews, even today, do not accept Jesus as the Christ. They are still waiting for the Messiah. But in Acts chapter 2, Peter, speaking of Jesus, says this in verse 12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." The Messiah has come and his kingdom, the Messianic kingdom, has begun. Isaiah 61 verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me," that word anointed, Christ, "to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners." Isaiah 35 verse 5 and 6, "Then, when the Messiah comes, the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arabah." Is Jesus the Messiah? Matthew 11, let us go there. Matthew 11. Now, background to this chapter, John, verse 2 says, 11:2, "Now when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?'" John, just like all the other disciples of Jesus, they did not understand the true nature of the true Messiah. They were waiting for an earthly Messiah. And what the Messiah will accomplish, they understood only in terms of this world. So to John, it is really puzzling to him. Because if Jesus is the true Messiah, then why am I, John saying to himself, why am I in the prison? Why am I in a prison if Jesus is the true Messiah? Because if Jesus is the Messiah that they were waiting for, an earthly Messiah, he will come, destroy all the Roman soldiers, and John will be reigning as king. And yet he finds himself in a prison. Thus it puzzles him. So he sends a person to Jesus, ask this question. Are you the expected one? Are you the Messiah? Or should we wait for another? And Jesus answered, verse 4, and said to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me. Do you remember those Isaiah passages that I read to you? Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 35. They say when Messiah comes, these things will happen. And here's Jesus who came, and these things are happening. And yet, people don't understand. Because their whole focus is on this world. How about you? Are you waiting for another? Or your waiting is over? How about you? Is Jesus Christ the Messiah? Just like his title says. Yes. Our Lord and Savior Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And here we learn that he is also what? The son of David and the son of Abraham. Jesus Christ is the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham, and the seed of David. Jesus, the Messiah, was promised in the form of a seed of woman, seed of David, and seed of Abraham. Let us go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis chapter 3. We call this verse the first evangelism. Very first time the gospel has been preached. I kind of disagree with that because even in chapter 1, I see the gospel given, but it's okay. Here, God renders the judgment upon the serpent. And he says to him, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. The very first evangelism. Even before Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, they heard the gospel. God says, a seed of woman will come. A male child will be born. And what will he do? Well, he will come and crush your head. But he's going to get hurt too. Because the serpent will bruise him on the heel, pointing to the cross. Death on the cross. But Satan's head will be crushed. So Adam, at that moment, his faith is in the Messiah who's going to come. And what is he going to do? When he comes, he's going to crush Satan. Destroy Satan. That was Adam's faith. Just like yours and mine. Our faith in the Messiah who came and crushed the head of the serpent. From Adam on, then, no one will be saved unless they have faith in the Messiah, Jesus, who is the Messiah. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. The seed of woman that was promised has come. Yes, Jesus is the seed of woman of Genesis 3:15, who will crush the head of the serpent. But God not only promised to Adam and Eve, but he also made promise to Abraham. Let us go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. God says to Abraham, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. Also, go to Genesis 17. And there we're going to read from verse 2. God says to Abraham, well, at that time is Abram. Chapter 2, 17, verse 2, I will establish my covenant. He's making a promise here. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And understand, what is God promising? A great nation and many kings. And the land. Now, if you read the rest of the Old Testament, God's promise to Abraham is partially or this worldly fulfilled in Moses and David and in the nation Israel. Because by the Moses time, when they came out of Egypt, the great nation was born. And by the time of David, there's kingdom established and there's a king. And the Israel was a great nation. But this fulfillment is not complete. It's not perfect. It was a type of the true fulfillment to come. How do we know that it was not ultimate fulfillment of God? How do we know? Well, the kingdom fell. And the Israelites were exiled. And the kingdom was never restored, even at the end of the Old Testament. How can that be if that is the fulfillment of God, the ultimate fulfillment of God? How can the nation be destroyed? So we know that it was not the perfect fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. The seed of Abraham. In terms of this world, they are Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and the rest of the Israelites. But none of them accomplish what God has promised. So we know that even though they are sons of Abraham, but they are not the ultimate son of Abraham, because none of them accomplish perfectly what God has promised to Abraham. But understand what Matthew is saying to you. Matthew is saying to you, now the true seed of Abraham, now the true son of Abraham has come. He is Jesus Christ. Even at very first verse, Matthew tells us a lot. This Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise that God has made to Abraham. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 verse 16. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is, Christ. The Bible interprets the Bible for us. So all the sons of Abraham, they were not the ultimate son of Abraham that God was promising, but Jesus Christ. He is the son of Abraham. Now, about son of David, let us go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 12. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 12. Am I keep saying chapter 17? Sorry, chapter 7. Because I'm reading that verse and wait a minute. I'm in trouble. It's not the right verse. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 12. God is making a covenant with David, King David. And this is what God promises the King David. Chapter 7 verse 12. When your days are complete, and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of man and the strokes of the Son of Man. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. Again, if you read the rest of the Bible, Old Testament, God's promise to David, what was promised? A son. And he's going to do what? He's going to build a house for God, which is the temple. So here's the promise to David. You will have a son, and he will build the temple. And his kingdom will endure forever. Now again, God's promise to David is partially and in terms of this world fulfilled in his son Solomon. But the temple that Solomon built and his kingdom are destroyed again, witnessing that they are not the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise. How can ultimate fulfillment of God be destroyed? So you go, huh? We look forward to the ultimate fulfillment. So this partial fulfillment, this worldly fulfillment, then is a type of the ultimate fulfillment that is to come. This is your understanding as you read your Bible. The true seed of David, then, is Jesus Christ. He comes and he completes the true temple through his death and resurrection. And we see this in John chapter 2. Destroy this temple. I will raise it up in 3 days. He was talking about his body. He was talking about you. So the Son of David is Jesus Christ. He will complete the true temple, the true house of God. And his kingdom will endure forever and ever. So Matthew tells us, the son of Abraham, the son of David, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And this understanding is everywhere in the New Testament. Let me give you a few places. Luke chapter 1. Verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. So again, the Luke, he understands. As he writes about the birth of Jesus Christ, he says the same thing. Here is the son of David who will sit on the throne of David, and his kingdom will last forever and ever. He is the son of David. Acts chapter 2. Verse 29. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. Again, Peter understands. When David, even David himself understood that one that is going to come, that who is his descendant, he was speaking of Jesus Christ. That is what is explained here. Romans 1:3, concerning his son who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh. 2 Timothy 2:13, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David according to my gospel. Revelation 5:5, Jesus is called the lion that is from the tribe of Judah and the root of David. So we understand then what Matthew is saying in verse 1. Now let's look at the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we see, when we read this, these verses today, but when you see this genealogy, what do you see? First of all, we see the faithfulness of our God. He perfectly keeps His promises. That is what is witnessed by this genealogy. Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. No matter what happens then, we see from this genealogy, God keeps His promises. No, all things actually happen because He is keeping His promises. Even if Abraham, this genealogy starts with Abraham. And Abraham was too old. Sarah was too old. They could not have a baby. I mean, think about it. From the very beginning then, if Abraham cannot have any child, then there will be no genealogy after Abraham. Then the son of David and the son of Abraham will never come. So you see His faithfulness and His power, even though so many obstacles appear to go against the plan of God, but you see Him faithfully carrying out His plan. That is what you see in this genealogy. Even if Abraham and Sarah is too old to have a child, even if the kingdom falls, even if all His people sin and sin gravely, He is faithful. He fulfills His plan. That is what we see in this genealogy. You are able to trust God. Whatever He promises, He will fulfill it no matter what happens. Like I said, everything happens because He is keeping His promises. Now, this genealogy is not a complete genealogy. If we compare this genealogy with the genealogies of the Old Testament, we see many names are omitted. But understand the purpose of Matthew in this genealogy. This genealogy, Matthew gave us this genealogy to show that our Lord Jesus Christ is the son of Abraham and the son of David. That is His purpose. And He fulfills that purpose. Now, our genealogy is divided into three sections. Verse 17 tells us, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Abraham to David, David to the time of deportation, and the time of deportation to Jesus Christ. If you look at the flow of from first section to second section to third section, this is what we see. The first section starts with Abraham. And as we have seen together, God made a great promise to Abraham. Great nation and great kings are promised. Now, the first section ends with David, in whom the promise of God is fulfilled partially and in terms of this world. But from the beginning of the second section, we see the glory of that kingdom disappear. Solomon is conceived by the great sin of David, his father, and during the king Rehoboam, the Solomon's son, what happens? The kingdom is divided into two, the north Israel and south Judah. You already see something is wrong. God's kingdom is now divided. Then the second section ends with the fall of the kingdom. The Israelites are deported to Babylon. What happened to God's promise? Great nation, great kings. End of the first section, you say, ooh, it is happening. But by the end of the second section, you say, what's going on? And in the section number 3, we meet many familiar names, but not familiar people. They just have the familiar names. We do not know who they are. We simply don't know these people. See how the earthly glory of the kingdom has disappeared almost completely. And we see Joseph, a very simple man, carpenter. Do you see any earthly glory? And you have to wonder, what happened to the promise of God? And into that, Jesus is born to fulfill all the promises of God. Now, one of the amazing things about this genealogy is the fact that we have name of female. Names of females in this genealogy. It signals a new era. Old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba. They are all Gentiles. Or at least two were so sure that they are Gentiles. And the other two, we think they are Gentiles. There are many hints from the Bible. But these four ladies, they are not someone whom you might boast about if they are members of your family. Tamar. Well, without getting into detail, because there are small children here, she bore a child with her father-in-law. That's Tamar. Rahab, a prostitute. And Bathsheba committed adultery with King David. Amazing grace. They are all sinners just like the rest of males we see in this genealogy. God's people are sinners. They're not saved because they're righteous. They're saved because of the faithfulness of God in keeping His promises. God's people are sinners, forgiven sinners. All are in need of the Messiah. That is what we see in this genealogy. And let me say just one thing about this 14, 14, 14. And I'm not too thrilled about this numbers. You know how so many people have so many different interpretation of numbers in the Bible. 14, 14, 14, we see six sevens. So 14 is two sevens, so we see six sevens. And seven points to the perfectness, as you know. Thus, up to Jesus Christ, then six sevens. And with Jesus, the seventh seven begins, thus showing us all is perfectly accomplished by Jesus Christ. We see many genealogies in the Old Testament. Just hang in there for a little longer. This is very, very important point that I'm going to make here. We see many genealogies in the Old Testament. Genesis 5:1 says, this is the book of the generation of Adam. Now, and that genealogy, if you go to Genesis 5 verse 1, that genealogy actually starts with whom? Adam. It looks forward as if it waits for someone. And until that person comes, the genealogy continues. And that is what you see from the Old Testament genealogy. It just continues and continues and continues as if they're waiting for someone. But here in Matthew, we see something completely different. The genealogy of Jesus Christ is different because it does not start with Jesus. Genealogy of Adam starts with Adam, then next. Genealogy of Abraham, you know, starts next. But Jesus Christ, his genealogy, it does not start with him. Rather, it ends with Jesus Christ. And all the people in the Old Testament genealogies, they all die. But Jesus is resurrected from the dead. And look at the pattern of Matthew's genealogy. If you read it, it's kind of someone is the father of someone. That's the pattern. Someone is father of someone. And if there's a female included, then the pattern is what? Someone is the father of someone by someone. Who will be the female? But when we come to Jesus, that pattern breaks. In chapter 1, verse 16, it says, Jacob was the father of Joseph. Still same pattern. The husband of Mary. By whom Jesus was born. Who is called the Messiah. It does not say Joseph is the father of Jesus by Mary. It should be like that if that pattern continues, right? But that is not what we see. What is Matthew doing? Joseph is a legal father of Jesus, but not a biological father. From verse 18, we will see next time, we will see more clearly that Jesus Christ then is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And that is the point Matthew is making in verse 16. And understand this. The messianic kingdom begins. Heaven begins. And there is no marriage apart from the marriage of the Lamb in heaven. There is no bearing of children in heaven. The heaven begins with Jesus Christ. The world is passing away with the coming of Jesus Christ. The earthly genealogy is passing away. Now the genealogy of the people of God is a list of God's sons. All are God's sons. There is no grandchild of God in heaven. The earthly genealogy is then passé. Understand this, brothers and sisters. You and I, in this new genealogy of heaven, you and I, we are born of the Holy Spirit. The earthly genealogy ends and the heavenly genealogy begins. And in this new genealogy of Jesus Christ, heaven's genealogy, it will say, God is the father of young Kim. God is the father of Sanjay Patel. That's the pattern. Do you see it? Do you see it? Go to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verse 31. Then his mother and his brothers arrived, and standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. His earthly mother, earthly brothers and sisters came to him. And 32, a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, Behold, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. Answering them, he said, Who are my mother and my brothers? Looking about at those who were sitting around him, he said, Behold, my mother and my brother. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? The age of flesh is over, and the age of the Holy Spirit begins. Now, if we want to talk about genealogy, as far as our religion is concerned, if you want to ever talk about genealogy, you talk about the heavens genealogy. The age of flesh is over. Understand your spiritual reality. You have eternal family now. God is your father and all are your brothers. Some churchgoers are so proud of their earthly family. They brag about their earthly father, who he is and what he does. They brag about their earthly grandfather, who he is and what he does. How foolish! I have the best father of them all. My father is God. And you want to brag about your earthly father and your earthly grandfather? Are you so proud that you are born into a great family of this world? That is your pride? You're a foolish one if that is so. God is your father and all are your brothers. Are you not proud of your heavenly genealogy? Are you not proud? Understand what your Lord has accomplished for us. Titus 3:9, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies. 1 Timothy 1:4, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God which is by faith. Jesus is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Do you see it? The end of sin line. The sin line is broken. The earthly genealogy is the line of sin. Sin comes down through that line. But here we see that line being broken by our Lord Jesus Christ. He is not born of an earthly father, an earthly mother. He is conceived by the Holy Spirit. If it were not for Jesus Christ, then whatever genealogy you might talk about, even the genealogy in Matthew 1 would just be the list of sinners, the list of people who go to hell. That's what genealogy is all about apart from Christ. Understand, brothers and sisters, people are so proud of the list of people who go to hell. How foolish.
the list of the occupants of hell apart from Christ. But that is no longer true. Jesus Christ came. The Messiah came to save His people from sin. Now the gospel says that even the sinners like these are the members of God's family, the citizens of heaven. Prostitutes, adulterers, they are all members of God's family because of Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters, I want you to see one more thing. The genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ is your genealogy. Galatians 3. Just one more verse. 3:29. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? You too are a son of Abraham. And in Jesus Christ, you too reign as a king in heaven, just like the King David. And you, brothers and sisters, you are the brothers of Jesus Christ. If you were to draw the family line, family tree, you will stand right next to Jesus Christ. You are brothers of Jesus Christ in the family of God. His genealogy is my genealogy. The new genealogy of people of God has begun in Jesus Christ. The genealogy of heaven. The list of sons of God. And all are born of the Holy Spirit. Go out. Tell the whole world how you are. So proud of this family. God the Father is our Father. God, Jesus Christ, is our brother. We are all born of the Holy Spirit. This is our spiritual reality. And soon to be visible when Jesus comes. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We are at the last of words because there's no way to express our gratitude, our joy in Jesus Christ. Father, bless us. That we may understand what Your Son has accomplished for us. And everything that Your Son has accomplished, they're so valuable. So valuable that everything in this world put together is nothing compared to them. Oh, Father, let us rejoice, for You have brought us the great salvation. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.